As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be.
Oh man, it's 8 o'clock.
And so that'll make it a.
I don't need the spotlight. I shine just fine.
Hi, I'm Karma, and yes, I am a bitch.
Brav Bros.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Brav Bros, your favorite podcast from the bros for everybody, for whoever wants to listen. I am your co-host, Steel Russell, joined as always by the one and only Bootin' Scootin' McGee. What's up, dude?
The boys are run down. Well, I mean, you're a little run down. I was sick, and whenever I'm sick, I always apply that to everybody else.
That's fair.
I do the same thing when I'm hungover, though. Like, if I drive past a bunch of people, and they're all, like, smiling, having a good time, like, fuck are you happy about? What's going on here?
I know, because you take it out on me. I always know when you're hungover because I'll text you. We usually check in the morning because there's usually emails and shit. So I'll hit up Shooter after, like on a Sunday morning maybe, or if he has a Monday off. That's the worst.
Oof.
Yeah.
Football season too?
Yeah. I'll get a text back and it's so snarky and it's like, do you think I read the email before 10 a.m.? It's like, what the fuck? I just asked you a question and I'll reply the same way every time. It's not my fault that you're hungover. Answer the question. And then he lightens up after that.
Nothing to smile about in my life, pal.
So fuck everything and everybody.
No, but you know what? Nothing can keep us down because we need to talk about Soho. Soho finale. And we're leading into the reunion. So it's a good way to tease the reunion a little bit. We got that coming out. Well, this episode will be out in the morning and you get to listen to this and it'll bring you right into the reunion. And that is how we draw it up here.
Yeah, that's how we drew up the play.
At Brav Bros LLC, that's where we are.
What the fuck? Yeah, we actually had a really special episode planned, and Bravo gave us the kibosh until next week. We had some Southern hospitality peeps that wanted to chat with us, so we're looking into doing that hopefully soon. Bravo just wanted it after the reunion, which makes sense. But, you know.
Doesn't make sense.
It would have been cool if we didn't have to wait.
I will never understand that because
it's just publicity, right?
There are a lot of people that listen to our show that maybe they don't watch Soho or maybe they kind of tune in, tune out, whatever, but they like to listen to us. If they allowed their people on the show, maybe it would drum up some interest.
Especially for a new show, right?
Yeah, I think. I don't know.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Bad business.
That's a good point, though. Like for a newer show, you'd think they'd want to have as much publicity leading up to their first reunion. This is their first reunion. They didn't have one last year. So it's a big deal, and their finale was fantastic. The season overall was great. So if you haven't jumped into this show, let me walk you through this scenario, all right?
Okay.
Not you, the listeners.
No, I know. I just don't know
what you're
do.
You're interrupting the listeners now. Now you're just being rude, okay? Just sit over there and shut up for a second.
Interrupting Cal.
Moo. I got you. So anyway, I'm always on, baby, always on. Here's the scenario I want to walk you through. You're going to need to go back and watch season one if you haven't. Now, it will get a little slow in the beginning. It takes a little bit to catch on, but once it starts going, I think it's what, like the third or fourth episode, you kind of get the temperature of the show.
Yeah, just about that.
And then about like once you get there, it's easy watching. Easy watching. And then once you get to season two, they did a fantastic job this year with there wasn't a whole lot of overproduction. They just got to film these kids being kids. And like that's the best part is you're seeing, you know, these people in their mid-20s to late-20s, and they're in that space that we saw a lot of the Vanderpump cast when they were at Sur starting out. They're trying to figure out what they want to do with their lives. They're having a lot of these crossroads within the friend group, within their personal lives, within their private lives. There's so much going on here that's all genuine, and it's kind of what made you sink your teeth into, like, a VPR. This is why we were so captivated by that show. I am not saying that this is early Vanderpump reincarnate, but I'm saying it has a lot of the same vibes, and it is very enjoyable to watch. It's a great cast. We are not paid by Soho. I promise you that. We just jumped into this show early because we were new to the Bravo game as well. It was good timing. It's great TV. So that's my plug for this show. If you have not given it a try, please give it a try and stick it out to at least episode four. Finish episode four, season one, before you quit on it, because you're going to want to watch season two. I have a feeling the reunion is going to make some headlines.
Yeah, you're probably going to hate most of the people on the show in the first couple episodes.
You will.
I remember we did. We were very confused by a lot of things, but you warm up to them. And the biggest thing about this show, I would say, because just the normal, I guess, kind of where Bravo is going with all their other shows, you can call out all of the overproduction, all of the forced situations and friendships and whatever. This doesn't really have any of that. It seems organic, and it's one of those shows that's just fun to watch. Just leave it on in the background. You can tune in, tune out. Not everything is super heavy. There's not a ton of conversations that really make you think about life and all that other thing. All the other bullshit that you don't want to think about when you're watching. Life. Yeah, nobody wants to think about life when they're watching TV. Like, that's the last thing I want to do.
That's actually really true.
So that's one of those shows where you can just tune in, have a little bit of fun, tune out, and enjoy it. But we're going to walk you through everything from the finale in just a moment, because I have a good thing to talk about.
Is it a good thing or is it a good...
It's just a continuing topic that we just bring up probably two or three times a month.
Nice. Let's get into it.
Did you see they're making a movie about each individual Beatle?
What?
Yep. Sam Mendes is directing 4 separate movies. One about John, one about Paul, one about Ringo, and I don't remember who the third one is. Fourth one? I don't know. I can't remember right now. Brain fart. What do you want from me?
Ringo,
John, Paul.
Paul.
And George Harrison.
George Harrison, yeah.
Oof, so there's going to be 4.
Bad if we get the Beatles.
Now it's really bad.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they're going to make 4 individual movies. Do you think they're going to get into the Illuminati with John?
I was going to ask you, do you think the Illuminati funded this biopic?
Is it going to be Illuminati propaganda?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, think of it this way.
Discussion over.
Think of it this way. Put your hands like this. You know the Diamond Tour, Kanye West?
Okay, yeah.
How many points are there?
I guess 4 on a diamond, yeah.
Yeah.
Confused.
Yeah, how many movies are there?
4. How many Beatles are there?
4.
Whoa.
I'm just saying, guys.
I think I'm going to skip the first 3 and then watch just Ringo. I hope Ringo is the first one.
I think Ringo needs his flowers. It's time. It's time. Yeah, it's got to be hard being the other Beatle.
Dude, no, it's definitely not.
You don't think?
He gets all of the money and like some of the fame when he's with the group, but then he gets to go live his life and not get recognized that often.
Oh, that's actually a good point. Maybe he made out the best.
Yeah.
Well, definitely better than... Well, now let's get to Southern Hospitality. But before we get into the Soho of it all, a quick reminder, make sure you get your tickets to our live shows coming up. We got one very soon. I think it's less than 2 weeks away. City Winery in Philadelphia, March 6th. It's a Wednesday night, and we made a huge push this last week. We sold a bunch of tickets, so there's not a whole lot left. Make sure you go get those tickets so you don't miss out. Come hang out with us. It's going to be a great time. It's where it all started. And then where's the next one?
The next one will be in D.C. at Union Stage on May 3rd. That's a Friday night.
That's a Friday night. We got our first Friday.
First Friday.
The
first Friday of the month, too.
Weird.
Ooh.
Coincidence?
Hey, now.
Beatles? And then our next one is June 14th, and that is in Boston, and that is at the City Winery, but that is a smaller venue. It's only 70 seats, so if you do not have your tickets, make sure you go get them sooner than later. Don't wait on that one so you don't miss out. It's literally 70. There's no more than that. So get your tickets. Come hang out with the bros. If you're going to Philly, make sure you get them soon. We're almost sold out. But let's move on to some Soho. But let's get into it, because this was a delightful finale. We've had some good finales this year, and we've had some clunkers. But I'm glad that this one landed. I'm glad they were able to bring it home. And I think that was in large part due to, I think we need to give flowers at the beginning of the episode for Bradley, because Brad brought his A game this season, and he is the driving force behind the Sammy thing. And I'm not saying that it was all scripted. I'm not saying that he saw his opportunity and took it. I did see an opportunity. He did see an opportunity at the end in the finale, and he's like, I'm bringing Sammy to this.
Hell yeah. Absolutely.
Great.
Yeah.
Just a great move. Great season. I think we're going to have to do like a list of our MVP rankings at some point during this episode.
Well, we could do it during the reunion, too.
We could do that. That maybe probably makes more sense.
How many parts are there? Just one?
I don't know. Probably.
God, I hope there's just one and it's just great.
It just needs to be one. And I just know. Make it a banger so people can watch it and get into the show.
Yep.
You don't need to make it longer than that.
Draw it out.
Do not. But we start out with a painful intro from Maddie. I think she thinks a lot more people are on her team than they are. I also realized that Bravo probably wrote this and had her read it, so I don't want to give her too much shit for it. But given the season, not just the episode, the full-on season, have we had a good Maddie episode this year?
No, not that I can remember, no. I mean, we've been giving her a little bit of grace, saying Trevor and the relationship have her in like a toxic state of mind, and she's doing things that she wouldn't normally do, and we enjoyed her in the first season. those types of things. That's where we stood for the most part. But no, she didn't really do anything that made me think, okay, you know, she's got something going here for the, at least for the entire season. No, I didn't see anything.
Yeah, no, you can't just live on delusion and saying lines such as, I'm the bitch that runs the bitch. Well, we see no evidence of that. I'm the bitch that always fights. That, okay.
Like, I see evidence of that.
For what, though? Like, you can be a fighter and fight for the wrong things.
Self-image, probably.
Really?
That's it?
That's what she's fighting for, is self-image? Because she looks like shit when she's fighting. Like, that's making her look way worse than anything else.
Maybe not to her.
Who's watching that and going to her? Oh, so it's all just like...
I don't know. Girlfriends that have been cheated on that are like, I get you. I have no idea.
I don't know. It's just like... And I think the toughest part is watching, you know, it's similar to like my feelings of watching Heather Gay go from season 2 to then season 3, if we take it to like a Salt Lake comparison, where she was so funny and fun season 2, and then season 3 out of nowhere, I was like, what the, who are you? This isn't fun at all. With Maddie, she was like the center of attention last year. She was really nice to everybody. She had a good time with everybody. Like, that was really fun to watch. And then you get this other side of her this year. And again, I think that you are correct. I think a lot of this is... Actually, no, I'm going to just flat out say all of this is Trevor-centric.
Yeah, it definitely is. I think you can still say that. However, in this episode alone, she took it too far.
Way too far.
It went from okay, I can feel a little bit sorry for you because we see what you're going through with the whole Trevor thing and he's warped your mind. Once you take it to the level that she took it to in this episode, now all of a sudden I don't feel sorry for you anymore.
No, I don't either.
You've done things on your own now. You're not being defensive. You're on the offense, which is crazy.
It is. And like, I would get it if you were actually the woman scorned here, but like, now you're just being flat out mean to this girl that got caught up in your nonsense because of your shitty boyfriend. Like, he says on the phone, was I being inappropriate? Yeah, but like, did we make out? Like, trying to force a confession out of her. And that sentence right there, I'm sure got glossed over by Maddie. All she heard was, you didn't make out. And she didn't even really confirm that. It was just all bizarre. But let's get into the episode where... Back at Republic, and Emmy just got the AGM promotion, and it was just announced to everybody there, and we're still getting the backlash from Joe Bradley, and Maddie seems to have actually settled in because her job is still safe, and
right.
I think she's also trying to save face, like, oh, I didn't want that job, I just wanted my job, and I want Emmy to take my job, but she's at least being much cooler about it, and even saying, like, Joe needs to chill out. Joe's handling this like absolute shit.
Yeah.
Like, it's a tough watch. When your boy O'Sheen... is telling you, like, you need to be happy for Emmy, like, this is a bad look for you.
Twice.
And like,
and in a confessional.
And look, tough start. When they didn't have O'Sheen, like, center of attention, I really don't mind him.
I enjoyed him.
I really did.
I thought he was fine. I thought that he, even him towards the end where he's just outside in his Speedo out there, yelling inside, just complimenting people's dresses and stuff.
I think it's just him.
He's fine. Like, that's the perfect role for him is... Yeah. There's a layer of glass between us and O'Sheen.
Yeah.
Like, we don't need him on the beach being hammered, yelling at people. We need him just, you know, in the next room over, saying things over to us.
Line.
Yeah, that's all we need.
It was nice to see him, like, be able to check Joe and be like, no, no, like, this is wrong.
Agreed.
That was good. So, different sides to O'Sheen. Nice season. See, we love to see progressions here.
Love progression.
We love a good progression here. Okay, let me just hammer that home.
You're breaking out the sexy voice. You talk.
I usually say that for the close talk mic.
Yeah.
No. But anyway, this forces a conversation between Joe and Leva and the GM, and this is where, like, I know last week you said, you know, it's office drama, it's funny, it's this and that. Like, did she deserve the promotion over Joe? Blah blah blah. And my defense was, regardless, it doesn't matter. It is what it is. That's what this moment is exactly.
Because
Joe is now talking to Leva, the owner, and the general manager who runs everything. You cannot talk to them this way. I was baffled. Like, honestly baffled. And I was surprised. I was waiting for Leva to rip his head off. I think she was being sympathetic because she understood the situation a little bit. And I also think that everybody's a little worried about Joe, and rightfully so. But this scene was tough because he's like, well, she's not my boss. I'm not going to let her talk to me like she's my boss. The GM's rolling his eyes like, dude, you need to shut the fuck up. Like, owner, Leva is the owner. You're telling her that she's not running her business well because she didn't promote you. That's a big mistake. And this is also proving a point.
It's proving a point. And we also didn't know that Joe wanted that job to begin with. I thought Joe was happy with his job.
He said 15 times, I wouldn't even take that job.
So who cares, dude?
It's like,
I think it's really, it's just the issue, like, it's a principal issue with him. He feels like he brought Emmy in, and Emmy's his little sister, and now all of a sudden she's above him. And it happened very quickly. It did happen quickly, and that is a whirlwind. You're allowed to be upset. You're allowed to be jealous if you want to. And you're even allowed to bitch to other coworkers. That's okay, because that was still funny last week watching that. It's when you talk to the GM, it's when you talk to Leva, and you tell them specifically that they're doing their job wrong. That's when it's like, all right, dude, like, sit the fuck down. Everybody else has told you now, relax.
Yep.
You have O'Sheen back there telling you to relax. You're not listening to anybody's input. You're going over to Leva and now talking about it. The fact that Leva didn't sit him down right then and there and say, you need to go home right now because this is bad for business if you're just going to be walking around and complaining to everybody.
Yeah, but it's also good for business. And she knows, well, she knows it's a finale. Businesses.
I know.
She knows it's a finale.
And you know what? I guess in the grand scheme of things, it's not that big of a deal because he was still doing his job. That's just complaining about it.
The funniest part to me is when he's in that mode and he's like, I just think it's bullshit that, you know, she got promoted. Hey, well, come on in. Like, come on in. Like, he'll stop.
Like, he's still making sure that, like, his job duties are covered.
Yeah, and he'll still smile and put on a face and be like, yeah, just go right in there. And they'll turn back around. Like,
he knows how many tables they've sold. He knows how many tables are available. So at least he might not tell Emmy that, but he's, you know, he knows. So he's still working. Like, that's the funny part is usually when people bitch about not getting the promotion, they stop doing their job efficiently. They sit down and they say, why would I even want to do this? I don't need to be working right now because I don't get rewarded for my work. He didn't do any of that. No, he just wanted to complain.
He's angrily doing his job well, which is so much better.
It translated to TV so well.
It did. But I am going to take it, since it's a finale, I'm getting very analytical because we have a whole season to work with. I'm going to take it to a little bit of a deeper level here and see if you agree with me. I feel like we've watched Joe this season kind of lose his foothold in the group and lose his foothold of kind of who he thought he was in the group. And he's watching relationships that he's had for a long time crumble. He's watching rifts being created in the group that he's not used to. And then on top of that, you know, his safe zone has been Republic. And I think he's always seen this path for him where it's, all right, I talked to Leva last year. I got this one promotion. Now I'm going to work up to AGM or whatever the next step is. I don't think that he foresaw all of these things happening in the span of one summer. And I think that his mental state right now is just flat out overwhelmed with everything. I think that this was more so not about the promotion. I don't think it was that much even about Emmy. I think it was about one of his friends overlapping him while he is seemingly spiraling. And I think that this is confirmation almost that it's like, wow, shit's not going well at all in any facet of my life. And this is kind of the highlight of that, because the one place I have been able to control, which is Republic, because we've seen him, even when he's in deep shit, he shows up for work, he does a good job. So I think that now that his safe space has been rocked, that boat's been rocked a little bit, I think this was the final thing to send him down that spiral.
I agree wholeheartedly, and I'll even add one more thing to that. One of his best friends is going to law school.
He's moving on.
Yep. He's no longer going to be working there. He's going to go try to achieve his dream and get into a career that can last him for the rest of his life and produce money for, you know, his entire family and stability and all of those things. So he's watching that unfold in front of him, which, you know, on its own is pretty tough to cope with. Throw in everything else that's been going on with Joe this year. Yeah, this makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was reading on it. But moving on from there, we get Trevor and Maddie, and I like instinctively cringe. I'm not a big cringer. I don't cringe a lot, except when you send me those shitty memes that are from a account.
I haven't sent you any in a couple.
No, you sent me a good one today. Is it Cake One from American Psycho?
Oh, yeah.
That was a good one.
Hey, Paul. Oh, it's Cake.
That was a Patrick Bateman joke,
yeah.
If you got that. Anyway, Trevor and Maddie, and it's hard to watch because you do see that she's caught up in this thing. Entirely. She's completely consumed by it, just by the verbiage and how she's talking and explaining it. She's like, you know, it's just so nice to be back in this house and have some clarity and stability. And it's like, well, you can't build stability on a shaky foundation. It makes no sense. And you guys, how can you trust him?
Well, you can't, but he's also baiting you to say good things about the relationship and the house. Like, you wake up and the first thing he says is,
good to be back.
Are you happy to be back? Like, do you need that gratification right now?
Yes, he does.
I know he does. And he also gets gratification, which is sick and twisted, out of watching Maddie bad talk her friends.
And feud with her friends.
And feud with her friends. He loves that because, as we said before, and we've said this for the last six episodes at this point, it pushes Maddie closer to Trevor. And that's exactly what he wants, because he wants that manipulation and control. And we watch this, and it's almost like the same scene over and over again. And I don't know. Like, Bravo does it in a nice way where they're like, oh, he's, you know, we've got breakfast today and look at them. They're having a fun time and flirting. It's fucking sad.
It is.
Like, all the shades are all drawn shut. It's dark in there. You're eating some weird, like, mismatch of fucking breakfast foods and watermelon. And you're like, oh, it's because this is kind of like a beach house. Like, no, you fucking live there.
Yeah, that's your house.
I don't give a shit where you live. Like, that's your house. You should eat a normal breakfast. This isn't fun. This is weird. But maybe it's just them. That's not, you know what? I don't want to bash those types of breakfasts across the board. It's just them. They piss me off so much. They hate these scenes. Because they, like, what am I supposed to do? Sit here and be like, you know what? They are pretty good together. And look, at the end of this episode, I did say they're pretty good together. It makes a lot of sense.
For a lot of different reasons, though, than it being a healthy relationship.
Yeah, no. I mean, their relationship's about as healthy as what the fuck they had for breakfast that morning. So let's just move on.
Anyway, we get to Brad and Lucia, TJ, and Sammy. And I'm curious if they're going to bring Sammy on as a friend of, or if they're like,
I think they should. I think she handled herself well.
I think that she provided a massive storyline this season, arguably the biggest storyline this season, other than Joe, Will, and Emmy. So, yeah, I think she's earned her... Oh, what's a Charleston badge? You know, like, you get...
There's fucking houses that are all different colors.
You get a diamond, you get a Salt Lake, you get a snowflake, you get a peach in
palm.
Atlanta. What?
Palm.
Like a palm frond? I think that's reserved for Southern Charm. They've been around longer.
Fair.
What can we do for Soho?
A martini. I
we'll think on that one.
Yeah, we'll think about on that one. What's like the drink there? Is there like a special drink, like a rum punch or something down there?
Charleston? I would imagine it would be something like, no, it's got to be classier than that. It's a little bit more bougie.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll think of something.
I don't know.
We're going down a road that we don't
understand. We'll get stuck on this for too long. But anyway, we got Brad, Lucia, TJ, and Sammy. And they're talking about Will's going away party. He's headed to law school, so it's also like a 4th of July party, but... We get to learn more about the phone call because we really haven't discussed the actual phone call. We've heard it. We've heard it from Maddie's phone. We haven't heard it from Sammy or anybody else, like, really analyzing this thing. So as she tells us, you know, we saw a 30-second clip, and it was a 20-minute conversation. And as she's walking through step-by-step of how this conversation went, and this is all a he said, she said, because we didn't get to hear the whole call. We got to hear snippets of it. So we're basing this off of the snippets, what Trevor's saying, and what Sammy's saying. But since I've seen Trevor enough on this show, and I think I got a pretty good read on him, what she's saying, I believe her 100%. The way that he's framing everything, where he's saying, she says, like, the whole point of this call was he was trying to get me to say, but we didn't make out. Like, it was very specific. And we've seen him guide Maddie through conversations. We've seen him say certain things, such as, are you happy to be home? Which seems subtle, but that's forcing a positive reaction out of Maddie when it may not have been warranted. It's forcing feelings. We've also seen him try to drive a wedge in the friends. When he flies to Miami, that is such a manipulative move right there, but we find out that that was all planned, which is fucking bananas. We'll get there. But he guides conversations. This is how manipulators work. It's what they do, and that's exactly what he's doing in this conversation. Then he takes it another level, and this is emotional manipulation, and that's when you take it to a blame game where he says, you ruined my life. You ruined my life. He's putting the onus on her.
Yeah, you owe it to me to answer these questions because it's been my life for the last couple of weeks with people questioning this. Again, the thing that I keep coming back to, and even in this conversation, we don't get Sammy specifically saying, we did make out. Like, we still haven't gotten that confirmation,
right?
But does it fucking matter?
No,
not
that's
really
not at all.
Because
right?
Look, he still went out. Trevor went out, whether it's with his friends or not. He ended up at the end of the night with your number texting you after midnight.
Yes.
The fuck?
Exactly.
Could you imagine, like, being in a relationship and coming back and then being like, yeah, no, we didn't make out, but, like, I got her number and I was still texting her that night. That's not that big of a deal, though, right? Like, she's saying that we made out. That's what we should focus on right now. That's what's trying to drive a wedge between us. No, dude, you still... All signs point to you made out with her, or at least tried to.
Yeah, and, like, here's the biggest caveat for this whole thing. If there was implicit trust in this relationship, unconditional, where it has not been shaken, the foundation of this relationship has not been tested up until this point, and you want to take him at his word, okay, like I wouldn't have as much of an issue with it if that was the case. This is a man with a past. He has a history of doing these things. So when he tells you initially, when you come back together the first time and he says, I love you so much, you're my whole world, I'll do anything in the whole world just to make it work. I'll never make you sad again. And that's probably exactly what he sounded like. And then fast forward.
I don't think he was crying.
No, but fast forward to this moment right now. He should never put you in another position where you have to question anything, period. Because he fucked up already. I mean, it should never be a situation where it's called into question, regardless if you're in a real relationship and you care about your partner and their feelings. You should never put yourself in that spot, regardless. However, if you are under the limelight because you were a dickhead in the past and cheated, you better make damn sure that you never leave any room for interpretation. That's fucking outrageous. Like, that's why I want to, like, scream at Maddie and be like, hey, like, wake up. You can't see how this is a fucking issue. This situation, regardless of making out, regardless with his past, plus this, your whole world has imploded. Your friends are gone. Your job's a shit show, or at least the show's making it look that way. Do you see the common denominator? This is a problem. And, like, this is why it gets so frustrating.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's easy to get frustrated about the whole thing. I still keep going back to, I think he probably could have gotten away with it.
Oh, yeah.
He made his own bed. He went back and decided to, well, actually, maybe not. I should probably rein that back in a little bit because we find out what we find out at the end of the episode.
Yeah.
So maybe it wasn't, because I've talked about that before where I thought, you know, Maddie came back to you. And, yeah, she's going to bitch and complain about, like, you fucking talking to other girls.
As she should.
And you're going to have to deal with that. But for all intents and purposes, it looks like you were kind of out of the woods there. And it looked weird that you went back to try to prove Sammy wrong or try to get her to say that she didn't hook up with you or that there was a lot more going on or that Brad set the whole thing up. None of that made any sense to me because it looked like you were in the clear. You probably could have just moved on with your life and then, you know, tried to be a good boyfriend to Maddie, but it didn't work out that way.
It didn't work out as we find out.
Yeah, and that's why I'm reining it in a little bit because I'm wondering if this was just the plan the entire time.
I might have been. I don't know, but he ends the conversation with Sammy with a threat, saying, you have no idea what Maddie will do to you. So now he has tried to make her feel bad, tried to force a confession, and then threatened her. That's the man that you want to be with. And the funniest part is we find out, we don't have to, it's not like we're dropping this big bombshell. Maddie was on this call. So she's listening to this, probably smiling like, oh yeah, like I'll get you. Like that's fucking weird. Like this is
too. One of us did say a couple of weeks ago that maybe that's what she's into. Maybe she likes that.
She likes the chaos
and enjoys that and likes to live in it. But I mean,
I don't think she does in her heart of hearts. I think in this toxic relationship, it probably feels good to like meet your partner on the same level of just bizarre actions. I don't know.
I think it could have. Maybe that would have been the answer. But watching it spill over to work, watching it spill over to your friendships, that's where it's like, okay, no, maybe you don't want this. And you're questioning things and you're walking away from things crying and you're not being comforted by your boyfriend. He's greeting you with a smile because he thinks it's funny that you're crying already. Like, that's the type of shit that's wild to me.
Yep. But
hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Moving on, we get back to Republic, and there's that they always have that pre-service meeting where they're talking about tables, how many tables we got tonight, and like shit like this, dude. Like, Emmy is just trying to do her fucking job at this point. How many tables do we have tonight? Joe just ignores her. He just sits on his clipboard and ignores her. The GM rolls his eyes in the corner and says, "Joe, what do we got?" And he's like, "Oh, we have this table and this table and this table." What do you think the response is going to be to something like this. Like, oh, Joe really told Emmy, you're promoted. Like, what do you want from this?
Yeah, and this was already after, which this is so fucking funny. I love this. We pointed this out last week. I think it was when Mia was with, what's her boyfriend's name?
Clive.
Clive, yeah. Mia and Clive.
It's not. I don't know what it is.
And we were laughing about how there's I don't fucking know, dude. And there's already cameras in the bedroom, and you're like, all right, you got to wake up and act like. There was a camera in the bedroom when Joe was late to his meeting. I know.
Jeez, the cameraman sitting there looking at him like, I wonder if he's going to wake up.
Oh, shit, I woke up late for the meeting. I don't really care about the meeting. Whatever. The cameraman's probably been there for an hour.
Yeah, like, what? He's been set up
Get back in bed, Joe, and act like you're sleeping. Rub your eyes a little bit. That was really funny to me. But I did love the one thing that Joe said when we got the little snippet of him and the GM sitting down talking about how Joe missed that meeting. He goes, yeah, I just thought it could have been an email. Like, Joe, I don't think you've worked in corporate America, so I don't think you can say that. But that is very true. A lot of meetings should be emails. That's my life. That's how I live. But I still have to go to the goddamn meetings or I get shit for it.
Well, I thought that scene, and we already applauded the show for not forcing produced scenes. I thought that scene might have been fake. The GM's responses and reactions didn't seem that genuine to me.
I don't know.
Do you think that there was a conversation had like that? I don't know if that was the conversation. Maybe they replicated it.
I think at some point in time, yeah, because they had already referenced, and a couple of the other people who would work at Republic had referenced that Joe doesn't go to the meetings anyway.
Oh, really?
So it doesn't, like, this was the one that put them over the edge. They're like, all right, he's really pissed off now because then he got the promotion.
Yeah, because of everything
it probably
going
did,
on.
Yeah. But you could tell that it was, because he was wearing the same shirt, it was probably 10 minutes before that meeting. So he's still not answering Emmy while she's just trying to find out how many tables are available. Right after that meeting that he had with the GM, and the GM's there rolling his eyes.
Think
like,
about that.
That's really funny to me, too. Like, he's just standing by it.
Jesus. Well,
what are you doing, Joe?
The highlight for me was when they're outside, like, how do you feel about the AGM promotion? Gila is, I didn't even know what an AGM was. I was like, fuck yeah.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Don't change. Don't ever change. But this is where we get a glimpse of what we've kind of seen this season and what a lot of people's issue with Joe has been is the two-facedness, because he claims to be so close with Will and Emmy, and, you know, Will's his brother and Emmy's like a sister and all this stuff, but he tells Maddie, like, oh, she was gunning for your job all summer, she's been talking shit about you all summer. If we rewind, the things that Emmy were saying were more in response to the friendship initially, but once the friendship was pretty much gone, it wasn't just Emmy. Everyone was talking about the fact that Maddie's not doing her job.
There's also no fucking problem with the fact that Emmy's sitting there looking at Maddie not doing her job and saying, I see an opportunity.
That's also very
There's nothing
true.
Wrong with that.
Like, I don't.
That's how you get promoted.
Yeah, it worked. Guess what? She saw an opportunity and took it. And I think that this is the culmination of a shitty summer. And this is like just raw emotion at this point. I don't even know if he knows what he's saying or how he feels about all of this shit. I think it's just coming out in waves. And I do think it's like TJ said later, and why I love TJ so much on this show is that he's not afraid to just say what he's thinking.
Yeah.
Like, he'll flat out say it. And two, he's usually on the nose. And a lot of times it's like tough to hear for the person in the room, but he just is like flat out says it. And he's like, you've been two-faced this entire summer. Yep. Very true. And this is a moment which you see it he says to him, I think that you're going to say whatever the person in front of you wants to hear.
Yeah.
And we have watched that every single episode, him go between Maddie and then the other friends in the group. We've seen it in the group text as well. He says he's trying to defend Maddie, but you scroll up a half an inch and it's him saying that she's like narcissistic or a psycho or something like that. So, and it kind of spills over into the next scene with Emmy, Will, and Arya. And that's where we get that Joe was talking shit about their relationship, saying that, you know, the minute that Will goes to law school, like, they're not going to make it. And I can hear it. I know exactly how he said it. The way that he tries to frame it later, he's like, oh, I would never want you guys. I'm concerned because long distance is tough. I don't think so, because he goes to a confessional and doubles down on it. And we know confessionals are later. And he's like, I just know how Will gets when he gets drunk. And it's like, this to me is a moment, man, where you're not the good guy and you're trying to throw shade elsewhere to like put the villain hat on somebody else with Will, and it's not going to play.
I don't know, but I looked at it a little bit differently with Joe and the way that he's been acting, at least for the last two episodes. He is a people pleaser and he does that all the time, and TJ hit the nail right on the head. But this episode, he wasn't. When people were going after him, he wasn't immediately apologizing. He wasn't just saying what they wanted to hear. He was actually speaking his mind, which was interesting,
Yeah, but was he?
He was still angry.
Truth, or was
no? It was
just
anger.
Like being defensive. Yeah,
it was. I think it was anger. I don't even think it was defensive. I think that he is just like what we already broke down earlier. He's had a hell of a summer. It was pretty rough, and in his mind, obviously, everything culminated when Emmy got the promotion. I imagine that he probably said the Will and Emmy are going to break up the night that Emmy got the promotion. That's okay. Probably the night that we're referencing when Arya is back there talking about this. So yeah, in the heat of the moment, he probably said something like that. But then when he sits down and does the confessional, it says to me that him and Will never squashed anything. So he's still, him and Will are still at odds.
Okay. Yeah.
As long as they're at odds, he's not going to say, you know what? I put my foot in my mouth. I said something stupid when I was drunk, or I said something stupid when I was angry about this. And I take all of it back. You know, they're my best friends and I want to see them happy, which is what he kind of said to Emmy. He talks a little softer to her.
Yeah.
But when it comes to Will, he's not doing any of that. So that says to me that they're still at odds, or at least during the filming, they were still at odds. So that's why he doubled down on the confessional.
Okay. I can get on board with that. That makes sense to me. But moving on, we get to Will's house with his mom, and he's getting ready to go to law school. He's got all this shit ordered. They're just kind of talking about logistics and things like that. And it gets to Joe and, you know, the issues that he's been having with him. And then he starts talking about things he's going to miss about Charleston. And he names people, doesn't name Emmy. And his mom's like, and Emmy? He's like, well, yeah, duh. And then he says a very interesting line. He says, I'm not going to let anyone hold me back. Now, this can mean a lot of things. Before I do my theory on this, because mine is a little bit more gentle, because I do think that they love each other, and I don't think that he wants out. So I want to hear what your take on this scene was.
I don't think he wants out. I think at first I thought that the production kind of fucked him a little bit on
that
one.
They might have.
But he still didn't say Emmy to his mom, to the point that his mom had to bring it up. It was just odd to see him say, I don't want anyone to hold, or I'm not going to let anything or anyone hold me back.
He said anyone.
On the tails of forgetting to say Emmy. Like, that was sort of my issue with that, where it's, okay, like, you have to realize at this point the conversations on the show that you've had about your girlfriend, and that they're not great.
Like,
your one-on-one conversations with your parents, not super great,
not
portrayed awesome, and you're saying things with confidence, very weird to see. I still think, I'm on your side, I still think that, you know, they're in love, and that's... That's fine. I think that he's of this mentality right now.
They're in love, and that's fine.
Yeah, whatever, yeah, if that's what you want.
They're in love, that's fine. Anyway.
But I think he's of the mentality, and maybe he's just fucking nervous. Maybe he's nervous to go away, because he hadn't really gone anywhere. Now he's going to law school. He's finally doing what he said that he was going to do for a couple of years now. It's finally coming to a point that he's got to leave, and he has to be by himself, and maybe he's a little scared about that. So that's probably why he's just talking himself up a little bit, saying, I'm not going to let anyone hold me back while I'm here, because I need to go do my shit. That could be it, if I'm being nice.
So it leads me...
Trying to be nice. Look, Will's not the villain of the show, so I'm not going to go after him.
So this leads me into my theory, actually, very well. So well said. Here's my theory. Young William is... You know, an intelligent guy.
The way this is starting.
He's a successful guy, right? He's probably the smartest guy in school. He's definitely the smartest guy in Republic, as he highlights later, which is funny. But here's what I think, genuinely, jokes aside. I think that he's been in this weird transitional phase for a long time. And, you know, he's kind of played growing up with Emmy, where they're both, you know, they're working at a bar, but now it's starting to get more serious for Emmy. She's got the AGM role. And I think that at the place in their life that they were last season, at the end, where Emmy's kind of pushing him to go to law school, like, it's time for you to start your life, this is what you want, this is what we want, and it's okay if, like, that's what they both want. So I think that in this moment, what we're seeing now, that's becoming real. I think that Will is stepping into what he believes is, like, okay, well, it's time for me to man up. Like, it's time for me to take my life by the reins, and I'm not going to let anything or anyone hold me back. I think this is almost bravado, where he's like, I'm forging my path in the world, and I'm not going to let anything or anybody. And I think in this moment, he means Emmy as well, but I don't think it was like, I don't need her anymore. I think
it wasn't like a leave behind.
Right.
Yeah.
It's more so like, I'm going to go do what the fuck I have to do. It's time for me to do that. And if our relationship is a casualty of this, like, I have to do what's right for me in this moment to start my real life. And I think that that's what that was. And I think that it's probably, again, a culmination of a lot of things and conversations he's had with his dad. And I think if you look back at those conversations and frame it that way, the conversation with his dad, where it's like, ooh, that's not great. Like what you're saying about Emmy's not great. But if you look at it in the frame of like, he's been stalling for 7 years, ever since he graduated college to go to law school. So I think that when I watch it in that light, I think that that makes sense to me, where it's like, it's time for me to fucking move on, be a man, go out in the world, do my thing, and nothing's going to stop me.
Yeah, that's a good point. We also aren't sure exactly what the relationship is between Will and his dad.
True.
He could have also seen, I know that there's dads out there that do this. Don't let, you know, your girlfriend or your relationship be a weakness. You're finally going and doing this. So, like, I'm not going to bring up my girlfriend in this. It could be. I don't fucking know.
Well, that's just a bold statement. I don't know.
I don't know. You're the one. You said young William, and then you, like, crossed your legs and got all, like,
therapist-y.
Yeah, I didn't like that. Any of that. I hated all of that.
It was
You also have a hole in your sock, and it's, like, pointing at me. So, if you, whatever you can do.
Oh, my socks are, yeah. You could call my socks Jesus for how holy they are.
Really fucking close to my knee. I'm going to have to move.
You didn't hear my joke.
What?
I said you could call my socks Jesus with how holy they are.
It's who's this to you, pal?
But we finally get to the party for Will. The Will party / the 4th of July bash. We'll call it that. The 4th Will bash. 4 Will? 4th Will?
You're trying.
I'm trying.
I gotta give you some credit.
Okay, I'll take what I can get.
Yeah. But
the first thing we have is Joe talking to TJ and Brad, and this is kind of where you get more of a read on where Joe is mentally, I think, right now. For the first real time, we've seen hints of it. We haven't had a flat-out conversation where he's like, not doing great, guys, and I think that this was it, because he starts out, he's like, you know, Will laid into me, like, really let me have it, and Brad, and this is probably the two best people for him to talk to in this moment,
yeah,
since
definitely.
Will and him on the outs, because these guys are going to tell you exactly what they're thinking. They're not trying to be dicks. They're just trying to let you know, like, hey, you've been slipping. You've really been slipping lately, and that's what they both say. Like, Brad's like, yeah, well-deserved, dude, and even TJ, that's when we get, like, I feel like you say whatever the person in front of you wants to hear. So this is all stuff that Joe needed to hear, and Brad finishes it well. He's like, dude, be a man, own it, and get your shit together. And I think that's what we all want. We want Joe to, like, just get your shit together, dude. You're unraveling right now, and you're not going about it the right way. Like, these are the guys you should probably surround yourself with right now. TJ, Brad, guys are going to tell you like it is, not jumping back and forth between people. But, you know, it is what it is. And we get to the party, and this is when Trevor arrives. And I just wrote, yay, in my book. And
I have a dumb question before we get started.
Oh, fun.
So before the pool party, right? And it was a pool party. I guess it was raining.
Doesn't it always seem to rain when they have events?
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Isn't that weird?
How about that?
Isn't that weird? And Trevor's always there, too, when it rains.
Well, when it rains, it pours.
I don't even know if that's
dumb question. Here we go. The girls were putting on makeup and stuff, and Will asked Emmy if she was going to go in the pool, and she said yeah.
Yeah.
How does makeup work in the pool?
I'm 99.9% sure that in this day and age, they make water-resistant makeup.
But, like, that much water-resistant? Like, water-resistant, you know, you go under water. That's different.
What do you think they're doing? Rain? Scuba diving? They're not in the rain. They're in a house.
Well, water resistant to me means, like, it's going to rain a little bit, but, like, my makeup's going to be cool. Not, I'm going to go in the pool for a long period of time and go underwater.
They're probably not. How many pool parties have you been to in your adult life? Genuinely, I'm not, because you've probably been to a few.
Probably more than 10, less than 20.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great number. How many of those parties were you submerged for more than a minute?
What? Have you seen me in a pool? All the time, dude. You throw some rings at the bottom of the pool, I'm fucking swimming.
Yeah, I forgot about the pool guy. You and Kev.
Yeah, dude.
Pool boys. The pool boys. Oh, yeah. All right. Well, you're a dumb person to ask.
You throw something at the bottom of the pool, I'm going
to
get it.
Normal human beings that go to pool parties and they're adult.
A.K.A. losers.
Okay, fine.
That don't have fun in the pool.
And you lounge in the pool.
I don't put
makeup
on.
You might do a funny cannonball, you know. Oh, splash you guys. Maybe something.
Yeah, that would be water resistant. If you get a little splash from the cannonball.
No, if you cannonball as well. If you wear a watch that is water resistant, can you go underwater?
That is not the same thing as makeup.
What do you mean?
Not the same thing as makeup.
What
are you defending right now? Why are you so... Yeah.
Water resistant watch can go underwater.
Sure.
Dude, there's makeup that you can wear underwater.
Okay. Prove it.
I guarantee Dev's got some shit upstairs. I'm about to go put it on and dunk my face. Be like, see, told you.
Do it.
If enough people respond to this, we'll make a video.
Well, people will respond to it.
Yeah.
and I'll hear them out.
Yeah.
Comment. I don't want to hear you out.
No. If you want to see me put makeup on and dunk my head and prove this idiot wrong.
I wouldn't trust you.
You'll be there.
Yeah. Still.
Where were we? You derailed me with
Trevor,
this shit.
Trevor arrived.
Trevor arrived.
With the rain.
Yes. And so we get to a quick clip of Chi Lily, and this is why she's just great for the show. She's, you know, living her best life post Liam, and she's flirting with this dude. One of, I think, Joe's friends or somebody's friend is there. And she's flirting with him a little bit, and she's having an evulsion.
An evulsion.
An evulsion, which should be a word. That's a good word.
We do talk about it. We had one last week that definitely should be a word.
Oh, you texted it to me. It was degeneracy.
That is a word.
It is.
That is a correct. Yeah that's a proper word. No, but we,
that's a proper word.
We make up. Should I cross my legs when I say proper word? Like,
yes,
you said earlier?
It's a proper word.
Yeah, no. Evolution. No, evolution. It's fine. It's good as is.
No, it is. I'm just saying we should add another one. Evolution.
Yeah, why not? Just make up more words. Let's just keep going.
Well, I think yeet's a
dictionary.
Dictionary now.
Yeet is, yeah.
Which is unfortunate. Me. But anyway, we
so
check in.
John, though.
That's a great word.
Ugh. I didn't like that. Something just came up.
We get a quick check in with Joe again, and this is where we hear flat out from, he's talking to Maddie, and she's like, are you okay, Joe? He says, this is the least okay I've been in my life, which is alarming. And that's like, I don't know. I mean, I don't
is
know.
Is that alarming or is that like, all right, you've lived a pretty good life?
Well, I'm not speaking from a, like what's happened. I'm speaking from more of like a mental standpoint. Like, who am I to say like where his mental state is right now? Because like,
I'm watching, a little jealous. Like, we watched this whole show. If that's the worst that he's ever been in his life.
I mean, yeah, there's a lot of positives there. I'm just saying from a mental standpoint, it's hard to really know. That's all. I'm trying to be sympathetic here. But yeah, I mean, it's a pretty solid.
Yeah,
you're on yachts and stuff.
Dude,
you're
yeah.
at like cool houses.
Your friends are a little mad at you. Yeah. And you're doing some dumb shit here and there.
Nah, hopefully you guys get there. I saw him like pictures of the reunion. They seem to all be vibing somewhat again. We'll see. I do think that he's going to have a rough reunion. I think he's going to be you have to have a target, especially reunion one. I think he's going to be patient zero.
I think Maddie should be patient zero.
I think she'll get her fair heat too, but I think Joe,
he gets more than she does. That's insane to
well
me.
Here's the thing, Maddie, I don't see anybody reasoning with her and like changing her mind. I think if you go after Joe, you're gonna catch him and get him caught up, and he's gonna be
Maddie
like, oh,
also
fuck.
Broke up with Trevor before the reunion, so
it's gonna be an interesting reunion. I'm excited for it. But this is when Brad makes the move of the season. He definitely gets like MVP of this episode for this move. Like, he brings Sammy to the party, which is messy as shit, and we fucking love it. Like, that was such a great call. And I'm trying to read people now, and I, knowing what I know now, it's a very different take on the scene. But when they walked in, I'm looking at people's body language and all that shit. I'm like, is Trevor panicking right now? Like, is he doing laps? Is he trying to like get Maddie out of the room? And lo and behold, none of that fucking matters, because the funniest part is we've been hearing these two talk as though Brad and the rest of the group is conspiring against Trevor and Maddie. They have this elaborate plan to break them up, like they care enough to do that. Again, I really want to emphasize that. We talked about it last week. Understand what you're saying right now. That's a lot of time and effort to put into breaking up somebody's relationship just because you started a rumor last year. Like, there's a lot of moving parts, and that's like a B-roll.
B-Lil.
A B-roll, like, movie plot. Like, oh, we're going to come up with this master plan where you, like, make out and, like, don't actually make out. We're going to break up this relationship in Charleston. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, it's really funny when you hear Brad talk about it, too, because Brad's saying, I thought we were done with all this bullshit. Yeah. Like, once he was vindicated when everybody realized that Maddie just completely made up the whole dumpster story.
He's done.
He was fine with that. And he knows that he's not close to Maddie. He knows that that friendship is probably never going to come back to him, and that's okay. He's accepted that. He didn't think that this was going to blow back up in his face for no fucking reason.
Because Dumb and Dumber have a phone call.
Yeah.
Like, if you, they want peace.
An illegal phone call.
An illegal phone call.
Why do you
call?
Think they were so weird about it?
But, like, that's the thing. Like, if you want peace, Maddie and Trevor, shut the fuck up, guys. Yeah. Just shut up. Stop talking. There's a lot of people on Bravo right now that just need to simply shut the fuck up. These two are one of them. You brought this on yourself because you want vindication for something he probably did.
I disagree. I think they should keep talking because this made for very good TV.
I'm saying in
keep
life.
Keep doing dumb shit.
I'm just saying.
I'm having a great time.
But let's talk about Joe, Emmy, and Will first, and then we'll talk about this elaborate scheme that, you know, these two idiots cooked up, these idiots being Trevor and Maddie. But Joe and Emmy have a conversation, and Emmy is pragmatic and approachable and trying to talk to her friend. Like, this is her friend who has been a huge dick to her. Like, if you really cared about her, then yeah, like you said, could you be jealous about the promotion? Sure. Could you talk a little shit to your coworkers the day of? Yeah, okay, fine. You're feeling a certain way. Shit happens. The fact that you can't get over yourself and get out of your own way to support your friend and congratulate her, and at the very least, like, just be cool with it. Like, be cool with it so she's cool. That's a big problem, right? And the second part of it is, you have been challenging their relationship for whatever reason this entire season. And I think that that is also reflective of where he is in his life. And it goes back to what you were saying, you know, Will's going to law school. Him and Emmy are solid. They have a future. They have a plan. They have all these things, this idea of stability in their future and some certainties, I guess. I mean, obviously, there's still a lot of things that have to happen, but there's a path there. Joe's still trying to find his way. And I think that that's why he went on the offense and tried to talk shit about these two in their relationship. I think that it made him feel better maybe about where he was. What do you think?
I kind of have a question. I kind of want to ask you if you feel the same way.
Okay.
Who is Joe closer to, Will or Emmy? Because he refers to Emmy as his little sister.
I think Will, at least last year, that's what it seemed like.
Okay.
I think he's close with Emmy as a product of his relationship with Will, but I'm not sure.
Something came back up when Joe was talking in his confessional, referring to the night that him, Will, and O'Sheen went out, and Will was in the bathroom with that girl.
Yeah.
Is it conceivable to think that Joe is pissed off that Will potentially cheated on Emmy in front of his eyes, and he didn't have the words or actions to kind of bring that situation to light?
And so this
and
is
pissed
his
off
way of
about
like
it because he wants to defend Emmy and he doesn't know how to do it. So I mean, that's maybe why he went after the relationship.
Maybe, but I also, I don't know. Cause
I was wondering, cause if he's closer to Emmy and he sees her as a little sister and he saw Will do that, but it could make sense that he was trying to do that in his own Joe way.
Maybe, but again, I think it comes back to whoever's in front of him. He's going to want to say the right thing to them.
I get that, too. And he also went down the path, which didn't really make any sense. And this is what I was referencing earlier, where he wasn't just saying what Emmy wanted to hear. He wasn't just apologizing because Emmy had a very good point and kind of broke everything down very succinctly. He immediately goes on the offensive and says, you've been acting egotistical and arrogant this entire summer. Which we didn't really see. I mean, we saw her have drive and want to
move up,
get
in
a
her
job
her
and
career.
You know, move up in her career. Which, you know, fucking sue me if that's what you want to do. But yeah, I mean, I didn't see any of that, so that didn't really make any sense to me. So if he had kind of broken it down a little bit differently, maybe I would have seen it a little different. But him going after Emmy after she just broke that down, and the other thing is the way that she posed the conversation with Joe, it gave Joe an out.
It did.
Gave Joe a way to say, okay, yeah, no, I see what you're saying. I've had a really rough summer. I'm sorry. I didn't really know what I was doing. There's a lot of things going on, but I don't want to lose you guys as friends. That would have been enough because, I mean, even still, after he went through calling her arrogant the whole summer, they still essentially squashed it and gave each other a hug.
Yeah, he apologizes and says, I'm projecting my frustrations.
Now, I do love that Emmy ended the conversation with, you've got an uphill battle when it comes to Will, though.
Yeah.
You've got another thing coming when you go over
Much
there. So,
bone to pick.
Which is fair. And that's, I guess, where we're going to lead into right now.
Yeah, and that's when we get to Will and Joe. And the one thing about Will is when he's lit, he's a little firecracker. He does not have conversations in contention well when he's drunk. He comes in immediately mad. And look, in this situation, he has every right to come into this conversation mad because, yeah, Joe's been talking shit behind your back for the entire summer. Been talking shit about your relationship, telling people that you're going to fail. Like, yeah, that would piss me off too. I would enter the conversation the same way. Nothing really gets accomplished here. And I think the biggest thing is Will is founded in his arguments with all of this. Like, let's take the cheating rumor aside, right? Like, that's out of this equation for now. He has every right to be as pissed off as he is. And that's why it's difficult with a drunk Will in this situation because no matter what Joe is going to say, I think that he's going to kind of go after him and not, that we really didn't see Joe able to get a word in. again, not that he should have been able to. Like, I still think that Will's justified in all of his emotions here. It's just this timing to have the conversation. Even as they're walking outside, Will's like, oh, yeah, let's talk, Joe. Let's talk, Joe. Like, kind of getting hyped up. So I think the timing of the conversation was shitty. It should have been probably had the next day. But again, he's trying to squash before Will leaves. But I definitely think that there's a way through here for these two. And I think that by squashing it with Emmy initially, he's going to have some support in this, because I think Emmy knows how close these guys were and how important this friendship is to them. So she's going to advocate for them to squash it in some way, shape, or form. It's more so going to come down to, can Joe take accountability without going on the defensive? Can Will, like, trust him to not, you know, and I think this goes for everybody in the group when it comes to what Joe are we going to get next year? Can he figure out a way to prove to this group, and as Emmy says, actions speak louder than words. What are you going to do to prove to everybody that you're not going to go from me and talk shit to them about what I just told you? How do we know that, like, you are back in this circle of trust, if you will?
Well, I mean, you can't really let him back into the circle of trust. And it's kind of a catch-22, honestly. Like,
yeah.
There's no way for him to prove that. Mm-hmm. And there's also no way for them to know without letting him back into the circle. So at some point, they're going to have to let him back in, because, look, at the end of the day, Food and Bev. They are a close-knit group, and
Food
they
and
start talking shit on everybody. Food and Bev for Ev. Yep. Yeah, good.
That's a shirt.
That's a good shirt. Let's add it to the list. It's inevitable. You're going to come back next season. Everybody who's still at Republic is going to start talking shit on one or two different people, and there's going to be group chats, and you're going to go on trips, and it's just going to happen eventually. I just hope that Joe has learned from this season that you can't play both sides. You can't be a people pleaser. Do what's best for you. And maybe while you're at work, and obviously it's a lot of fun, whatever, keep your head down and work.
Yeah.
That's what you want. You want to go get that promotion. You want to do this and that and whatever. Then just do it.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like, don't look at other people as opponents. Look at them as your friends.
Yeah. Nike.
Because at the end of the day, if you do get promoted, they'll be happy for you. And then you're going to feel like shit, because when other people got promoted, you were pissed off about it.
Yep.
So that's, you know, that's what's coming for you. But you do have to learn from everything that's going on. I don't know when it comes to having a conversation like this with Will. You already pointed out, when he gets lit, he is a little firecracker. But at the same time, that is a really good time to squash things. People are a little lit.
It can go either way.
I know. It's either the best opportunity, because
it's either the most emotional bro talk.
Yeah, that's what I was expecting,
you know,
too.
The close fist bro hug.
Yeah, that's what, like, I wanted.
Oh, man, I love
it. I wanted that so bad, because those are great moments.
I think they could have gotten there if Joe didn't walk away.
Nah, dude. I think that Will was going to keep.
You think
just
so?
Teeing off on him. Yeah,
maybe that's wishful
thinking.
Which
is fair, because
it
that's
is
the
fair.
Other thing.
It's fair.
I think, I don't know. I mean, you kind of have to have that conversation, especially after you have a conversation with Emmy and it ends well.
Yeah.
You get a little bit of oomph in your step, and you're like, all right, I can handle this. I'll go talk
I'm
to Will
almost
right
there.
Now.
I'm almost there.
Halfway there, baby. And then Will just absolutely crushes you. But yeah, I don't think they were ever going to get there that night. It could have gone either way, and it went the wrong way.
It went south, but. Yeah, I do look forward to that moment where they come back together and we get there's something to be said about a good bro hug. And you'll know it when you see it. If you're not sure what that is, it's a closed fist, and you give him like two or three hard closed fist pats on the back. That's a bro hug.
Well, I assume we're going to get Will back next year, because it is the summer. They do film.
Yeah, and I think so that
maybe the second half of the season he'll come back, or.
Yeah, but I think it also opens up an interesting opportunity if they can do it the right way of, let's go visit Will at law school, like the last week of his semester or whatever, and then they come back to Charleston. I don't want to spend too much time at law school. I'm just saying.
Yeah, it sounds boring.
Well, it's going to be part of the show if he's still going to be on the show, unless he like takes on more of a friend of role, which I don't see that happening, because he's a mainstay on the show right now.
Yeah. I don't want to go to law school. No.
And fuck that.
No, not me personally. I meant like TV-wise.
Oh.
I don't give a shit.
It's like, I'm not
you can check in with him and just say, like, here, whatever. But I don't know. We don't need to be doing things.
Not for an extended period. Never mind.
I don't want to see it.
Never mind. Care. Let's get to
nerds.
What are you,
yeah. School?
Weenie.
Books?
Yeah. What are you, 7 years of college?
You can read?
Yeah. Loser. Have you never heard of Google and Siri? There's AI now. What do you need a calculator for? I guess you don't need a calculator. Do you need a calculator in law school? Is that the dumbest question ever asked?
It depends on what kind of law you're doing. Yeah. You're doing financial law? Yes.
Okay, cool. Nice. So I'm not dumb.
Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Let's get to Sammy and Maddie. And the first interaction we saw with this was, I don't know how some of these people are so cool, calm, and collected in some of these moments. Because Maddie's tone as she's leading Sammy out of the house, I would have stopped dead in my tracks and been like, fuck you.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not following you anywhere. You're not going to talk to me.
At the same time, Sammy probably saw it as an opportunity. Like, the cameras are going to be there. What if she does go crazy? The cameras are right there. This is a good opportunity for me to just look level-headed.
And she did. And, like, but my whole point is just, like, impulse control. Like, I'm pretty mellow for the majority of my life until I go on a rant on here. My blood pressure spikes.
Yeah.
But the tone that she was talking in, I was like, whoa, that's fucked up. I just thought it was really mean. But she leads her out of the house and shuts the door, and we get a phenomenal scene. I love this. She's talking mad shit through the glass. It's soundproofed. You can't hear a goddamn thing.
That was the best. When Mia goes out to try to console Sammy and be like, what the fuck just happened?
She locks them both out.
Sammy was calm, cool, and collected. She's like, yeah, she just locked me out. I'm not wanted here. It's okay. It's not that big of a deal. No, you can come back in. Maddie screaming through the door and yelling, and you can't hear a thing. Which, by the way, great glass, Jamie.
Yeah, nice job.
Shout out Jamie with that house.
Yeah,
thanks for having us there, pal. But great glass, couldn't hear a thing, and Mia's just pointing at her ears like, we have no idea what's going on. Yep. Sammy's just smiling. Like, at that point, and that's one of my favorite things, when somebody is very clearly crazy, there's nothing you can do about it.
Mm-mm.
You just kind of smile.
Yeah.
You just kind of laugh a little bit. Like, okay, this is what I'm competing with. Like, I don't have to deal
I
with
have
this
no
anymore.
Rebuttal.
Everybody else, and that's the funny thing. Everybody knows this story. Everybody, even if you believe that Sammy and Brad were sitting there conniving and trying to set this whole thing up, and you see Maddie like losing her fucking lid, like all of her friends were seeing, she still looks like the crazy one.
Yep.
You can't take it to that level. And while I'll agree, leading her out of the house and locking her out is very fucking funny.
Very funny.
Very funny move. Thereafter is the wrong move.
Yes.
You screaming through the door when they can't even hear you, and then doing it again when Mia goes outside, stupid. Like, you look fucking nuts.
But I was laughing, too, because she takes her outside and locks the door as if that's going, nope, you're out now.
Yeah.
It's a fucking house with a yard. I'm sure there's side doors. I'm sure
they're taking it another step and like called an Uber and then led her to the Uber and then sent her away. Call the cops.
If she had had a conversation with
her. Tell the cops she's got drugs on her.
That, whoa.
All right. I took it too far. Sorry, guys.
If there had been a moment where she stopped in like the foyer and.
Foyer.
Yeah, you like that?
You can cross your legs that time. No, don't. I didn't.
Foyer. And like she talked to her for like 2 or 3 minutes. And then goes, let's finish this conversation outside, shuts the door as the Uber pulls up. That would have been great.
That would have been good.
That would have been good. Take notes, guys. If you're listening, take notes. That would be.
Take her to an animal shelter.
Well, I mean, I think when she's in the car, she can probably dictate where she wants to go.
She has to get in the car. Why would she even get in that car? Well, we actually have to have this conversation somewhere else.
Yeah. Meet me at the docks.
But I can't stand to sit in an Uber with you.
Yeah. Meet me at the docks at 0600. But this is where we get to find out about the craziest thing I've heard in a very long time. We find out that the majority of the last 3 episodes, all of the drama that Maddie has produced has been just that, produced. She was on this phone call with Trevor the whole time, which means she played Joe like a fucking fiddle. I'm glad that Joe didn't bite. I'm glad that he was like, this seems kind of fishy when he heard the phone call the first time. But she's sitting in front of him crying as though she just found out. She's crying. Like, that is so fucking manipulative to try to get Joe on your side.
Not only that, take it back another step. The entire scene where Trevor and Maddie are sitting at lunch.
Oh my God, yeah.
That's fake.
Oh, for the camera.
The conversation already happened.
Think about that.
They already sat in on the phone conversation. So Trevor's sitting there acting like he called her the other night while they were in Miami and got this whole thing going. No, nice. It probably happens. You know what?
Oh, no.
It probably happens the night that he pulled up and picked her up.
It happened before that.
It happened before Miami?
Before Miami. Miami, that's my point, dude. She knew he was going to
Miami. Oh, yeah, all through Miami because Grace Lilly spilled the beans twice.
Maddie, shout out. Trevor.
Shout out G. Lilly.
She's.
Can we call Maddie right now to try to figure out? I don't know what I'm saying.
And she apologized. She goes, sorry, G. Lilly, don't ever change.
Yeah, don't change. You're great.
But this whole entire thing has been scripted by these two idiots, and that is terrifying. Genuinely. And if you think that this is a good relationship, if you're willing to go to these lengths to prove a fucking point, because your boyfriend at the end of the day was still in a bad spot by his own doing. That's what's so crazy. That's what gets lost in all of this. You are in this position because of the position that Trevor was in, whether they made out or not. There's a video of her reaching for him and he said, oh, you grabbed my dick and laughing.
Yep.
If that happens and you're in a good relationship and someone does that, you say, yo, what the fuck? And turn around and walk the fuck away. Like, the root of the issue here is not the crazy conspiracy that you think Brad has against you. The root of the issue will always and forever be your douchebag boyfriend that puts you in bad spots because he's an idiot.
Nah, it's not anymore. She's just as bad.
I agree.
They're meant for each other.
Well, yeah,
and I'm actually sad they broke up. Because look, there's two crazy people. Let them go together and then we'll send them off somewhere.
But do you think
they don't have to worry about other people getting involved?
Do you think that that is actually Maddie? Because if you go back and watch, and I don't know, because
I do.
If you go back
and
watch before Trevor entered the picture, it, like, literally go back to the episode that he rides up on a stupid fucking bike taxi, although he can afford whatever house he's living in down there, driving a fucking bike taxi. Go back and watch when he enters, okay? She changes night and day from the first four episodes or whatever when Trevor comes back.
I know what you're saying, and I understand it, and I appreciate the view.
But you can't defend her actions?
Fuck no.
Yeah, you're right.
Like, she doesn't deserve for us to have this conversation
you're right.
after what we just watched.
No, I mean, it's scary. It's fucking scary.
As funny as it was, and as much as I was cackling at the end of the episode, especially when they showed that graphic, it doesn't matter. Like, they did this for three episodes. They made up an entire story,
more
fake scenes, probably longer. Yeah. So let's say the entire second half of the season was completely fake from Maddie. Why would I forgive her for that?
Yeah, you're right.
You can't do fake shit on TV like that.
Well, I mean, let's not go too far, but
you can't do that.
We see it all the time.
It's called the real Southern hospitality.
Nope.
Right? No,
I don't think
not.
So.
Yeah, it's reality TV. Okay.
Real
fake-ality TV.
Real it. Why TV?
Yeah. There you go.
But I don't know. I mean, you're right. Like, there's a big, big argument to be said for that, that at a certain point, you can't hide behind the toxic relationship anymore, especially when you come up. And I guess that is my biggest question. At what point are you watching this back or at the reunion, or are you talking to a good, like an actual good friend of yours that knows you and say, yo, you put this whole plan together and you think that you're good?
That's the problem with that. I don't think that she has friends that do that.
That would check her
life. I don't know who that other girl was, the girl in the blue dress, but she was like rooting for her the entire time.
Yeah.
She's fucking annoying. She doesn't need to come back on TV. And G. Lily's just there.
G. Lily's
she doesn't know what her role is really, but you know, she's happy to be there.
She's not going
to
say anything mean. She's going to like try to keep people light and wavy, baby. But
she's not going to have that real conversation with her.
No, but you know who would? Is like TJ, Brad, Emmy, like the people that you've lost, the ones that would check you, and they're gone.
TJ probably still could. I think TJ could probably see through it.
I think TJ, because one, I don't think
like she vindictively went after Brad, so like Brad shouldn't fucking do it. Fuck that.
No, and he shouldn't because of that lie that she created last year. But like, I guess that's where we get that weird boundary between show and real life, where it's like, at what point does a friend forego, like, we're shooting a show and be like, yo, dude, this is kind of fucked up. Like, are you sure you're good? Because this kind of behavior is pretty crazy. You came up with a plan that resulted in Trevor flying to Miami to surprise you in this car, all stemming from this phone call that you two illegally recorded to get some kind of evidence that we still really didn't get. The vindication's not there. What she said, she didn't say Brad and I set this whole thing up. What she said
that's
was
why
she
I would
felt
love
bad
to see,
for being part of it.
I'd love to see the two of them on that conversation because there's nothing there that says that Trevor was correct. There's Zero. Nothing there that says that he was telling the truth or that Brad set anything up.
We've yet to see any evidence.
Not yet. Like, and Sammy's sitting there saying that she never said any of those things. We only saw a snippet of the conversation. Maddie's still sitting there saying it was a 3-minute conversation, and she knows because she was on the phone.
20 minutes.
But Sammy says that it was 20 minutes, which I believe.
Confessional Maddie says it was 30 minutes.
Yeah, so the whole thing is just fucking nuts. And it's one thing from the TV standpoint, like you were saying, if Maddie was sitting there laughing about it and it's like, okay, this was just a play and it's, you know, she wanted to do this for TV, I understand that to an extent. And it's like, okay, this isn't like a mental health thing going on right now. This is, you were just trying to do some shit for TV. I understand that. I get that, whatever. Don't do it again.
No.
Because that pisses me off. But I understand it. She was sitting there like maniacally laughing and screaming, and she looked unhinged.
She
like,
grabbed her to try to drag her back to talk to her boyfriend. Oh, you're going to talk to him? It's like, dude, stop.
Why would I talk to him? He filmed me on conversation, like on the phone. Like, no.
Well, you just, both did, you fucking weirdo. Like, I'm probably going to bounce now because I feel unsafe because you guys are going to follow me home.
Yeah, I just can't see anybody, and that's what's going to be really interesting to see for the reunion. I can't see anybody coming to her defense.
I don't know.
There might be, I mean, Grace Lee, of course. Maybe somebody's going to have like a softer heart and say pretty much what we've said all season, where Trevor is completely, But and now that they're broken up, she's trying to figure out and like fix her friendships or whatever. I think we're going to get a lot of that. I just don't know how anybody can sit there on those couches and defend her.
I don't think you can, and I don't think that we're going to see a lot of that. I think, like you said, G. Lily will jump in from time to time and just be like, no, she's good, or like lay off of her. I think she'll like play that role, but I don't think anyone's going to have a lot to say in regards to, you know, she was going through a lot. Like, that's inherent. We got that. We understand that. They were trying to be there for you. You mistook it for them conniving behind your back to try to break up your relationship. And in part, maybe they were because they didn't think that this was the best relationship for you.
Yeah,
so
that's fine.
Yeah. And like,
it wasn't the good relationship.
Not like, look what it resulted in.
Yeah.
Like, this is what it led you to. This summer that you've had, which was a disaster from start to finish, alienated from your friends, not getting promoted at work. Again, we're not going to say you weren't doing a good job, because production could be framing it that you seemed like you were flaky when you actually weren't. We don't know. We don't have the punch cards. But if this is how you are now living your life as a result of this relationship, to where you're coming up with elaborate villain schemes to get back at your friends, like, that's not worth your time. Life is entirely too short to come up with wacky plans and execute it with your douchebag boyfriend.
Agreed.
But all in all, fucking phenomenal finale. I'm excited for their first reunion ever. I think they're going to bring it. That takes us to the question portion, and by the amount of questions we have this week compared to the last 2 weeks, you guys are buying in. And that brings me to another funny point. I was reading comments on the Sandoval video I posted yesterday.
Yeah.
So many people are saying in the comments, like, has anybody else started watching Soho? It's the new Vanderpump. It's this and that and this and that. Buzz. We have buzz. We've been in the show since day one.
We need buzz.
But we like buzz. So
we get paid by Soho.
Soho pays my mortgage. Not really, but Level, what's up? You want to pay my mortgage? We'll be on your payroll. Right, from up first, Miranda E412, do you think Maddie is lying and trying to make up her own storyline?
Being that she wasn't actually on, I actually had this thought that she wasn't actually on the phone call with Trevor.
I thought immediately.
Yeah, and she was just covering for him for whatever fucking reason. But watching Trevor, and this is your biggest thing with the body language, it looked like she was telling the truth, honestly. Like, Trevor was always around, but he was more curious to see what they were going to talk about than anything else. I think she was on the phone.
Yeah, I do too, unfortunately. To answer your question, is she trying to make up her own storyline? I don't think that this was even storyline-centric. I don't think that thought crossed her mind. I think this was revenge. I think that's all this was, because she felt slighted by her friends. From Lauren 3D, do you think there should have been more episodes post-reveal of Maddie puppeteering?
No.
Nope.
Nope, this was perfect.
Absolutely perfect.
That would go in the same, and again, we're doing the
pick up the cameras again thing.
Yeah, and we're also doing the Salt Lake parallels here too, because again, it's a great finale, and something that we talked about for so long finally came to a head, and it was great. Do you want cameras to pick up after Monica gets revealed as, you know,
reality
what she was doing? No, I don't. It was perfect. It's a good ending, and then we go right to the reunion.
Yeah, sometimes we can just leave it at like semi-cliffhanger and just applaud it for a fucking great episode. From CWriteFam6, interesting. Is Joe Bradley the new Schwartz, and does that make Maddie the new Stassi or Doty? No to Maddie, but is Joe Bradley like Schwartz?
No. No, that's so mean.
No. Not in that, in a lot of different regards. I'm more saying where he's the people pleaser and kind of gets caught in the middle and plays, tries to just play both sides. That we do see. But yeah, I guess what you're saying, all-encompassing Schwartz? No, not at all.
Yeah, no.
The middleman, kind of?
Kind of. It's still so early. You can't.
That's also true, too. I don't know. That's the funny thing, because we've only got two seasons to work with. We've seen drastically different people from season one to season two in some of these characters. So, like, it's a 50-50 chance that they're one way or the other. We don't know yet, but. From Golden Midge, how on earth does Maddie come back? No credibility, attempted to put hands on Sammy.
She's obviously going to come back because she broke up with Trevor. I think if her and Trevor were still together, we might not see Maddie next year because people would still force themselves. But, like, I guess if she still works there, you can always bring her back. I'm just thinking about who actually wants to film with her after seeing something like that. She could have her, I guess, redemption arc over the next couple of months and until now before the season picks back up again. So yeah. I think you bring her back regardless.
I think either way you bring her back. She was good for two. You can't argue about anything this season, honestly. Like, they did a great job. The only question mark, who is a character that we really like on this show, is Mia. Just like, where does she fit in now is kind of the
big, she's going to have to come back and work there
in some capacity, right? Like, that's what I'm thinking. I just don't see, like, she's great. She really is, but how does she fit with this group now?
And if she doesn't, then, again, like, we don't really want to see people who aren't working there. Like, that's the problem. Like, when we see Mia, things, great for her, but it doesn't do anything for the show.
That's exactly it. It's like, oh, cool, awesome, we're happy for you, but what's the implications on the rest of the group? I like this one a lot. From Carberry Vodka. Interesting name. What happened with Mikkel and Maddie for him to come clean to Bradley about Blowjob Alley?
I don't know, because we didn't get enough Mikkel. We got no Mikkel.
We didn't get enough Mikkel, which is unfortunate because we love Mikkel. I will say, from seeing his Instagram, I think he's been doing a lot of soul searching this past year, and I saw a thing where he wasn't drinking, and we saw that on the show, and there he did like a 30-day retreat for his church. Like, I think he's really trying to get his life centered and on a path that he likes. So while we love Mikkel on our screens, I'm happy for him that he's taking care of himself, and hopefully that leads to more Mikkel next year, a happier Mikkel.
I think at the end of the day, we still have a lot of people on this show that are friends with Mikkel. And
yeah, so Mikkel. The door's still open.
Yeah, so at the very least, even if maybe him not being on the show is good for whatever he's trying to do with his life, he can still pop in and out and do what he was doing. I just want a little more frequency, because every time that he's on screen, it's great.
He's always saying
he always has an opinion about something that we usually agree with. And he always furthers the storyline a little bit more. So we need
I like him the most because he can adjust his point of view when presented with new evidence. Like, when he learns something new, such as, like, he sees the video of Trevor and that girl reaching for his crotch, he's like, oh, man, and his entire view flips. So my answer to your question, Carberry Vodka, is I think that they have seen Maddie push away from the group and be an asshole to a lot of them and shut them off and shut herself off. And I think that whatever loyalty he had in I need to stand up for my girl, I think that went out the window because he saw Brad getting slighted and now Brad brought it to his attention. I think that it takes a man to step up and it takes a good friend to step up in that moment with Brad and be like, hey man, this is why I did it and I'm sorry. So I think it was more so his friendship with Maddie not being 100% anymore, and also his friendship with Bradley. He wanted to honor that and just come clean. One more. Last one from Karina D. No question, but just got tickets for the Boston show for me and my husband. Yay.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Is he a Bravo fan, or is he just going to support his wife?
I don't know.
I'm not asking you.
Are you going to get an answer?
Probably. Karina, if you hear this,
okay, there you go.
Please let me know if he's a fellow Brav Bro or if we need to convert him when he comes to the show, because then I have an agenda.
Church of the Brav Bros, we got
to
convert.
Welcome to, well, man, the father, the son, the grand dame.
Stop making it about Potomac. Nobody gives a shit about
the
Potomac.
Andy, the Cohen, the Gron, the Dumb.
Nobody cares about
then
Potomac.
Then you do
Stop
one.
Doing it. It would probably just be a but it would be four
Rabha, Roslick, Rowan, Rom.
There you go.
Wow.
There you go.
I feel good.
Yeah, okay.
I feel good.
I don't.
But that's a quick reminder to buy tickets to our live shows coming up. We got one March 6th that is damn near sold out. We had a massive push this last week. So if you haven't gotten your tickets for that yet, please go get them now. We're less than 2 weeks away, right?
Or like 2 weeks. 2 weeks. Well, it'll be 13 days when this episode drops.
Yeah, so get those tickets now. It's a Wednesday night, City Winery, Philadelphia. After that, we will be in D.C. on May 3rd at the Union Stage. So make sure you go get your tickets there so we can come down and maybe talk a little bit of Potomac since we're in the area, much to Shooter's chagrin. But I'll bring it up at some point. Yeah. Maybe we'll have a couple of guests. I don't know. And then our last one is Boston on June 14th.
Correct.
June 14th, City Winery, Boston. That is a smaller venue. Okay, that is a 70-seat venue. So if you're planning on going to Boston, you might want to jump on it sooner than later. Those tickets will sell quick, and we don't want you guys to be locked out of the show.
Correct.
Although, we'll try to sneak you in the back.
Yeah, we'll get a little standing room.
Yeah, I don't really care.
Fuck,
I'll open the door. You can sneak right in. No, buy a ticket. Come out, hang out with the bros. Get a ticket to all three. Prove that you were there at all three. And we'll have a prize waiting for you in Boston. We don't know what it is yet, but if you can come to all three, we'll give you a prize. We have to have multiple in case we get multiples. If we get multiple, that is multiple, multiple showgoers, multiple showgoers.
Yeah.
This is how you end a show, baby.
Yeah, it is.
You'll get a prize. You'll get a prize. It's like Oprah. Everyone gets a prize. You got anything else?
No.
Rob Bros are out of here.